Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see so many of you out here braving the elements this morning. I know when I looked at the thermometer, I wasn't too excited about putting my foot outside the door. We're talking about the Transfiguration today. Can you imagine being one of those three disciples at an event like that? The incredible, awestruck nature that they must have felt. To me, the Transfiguration of Jesus is like having gone for several months, it might have been 6 or 8, maybe even a year, I'm not sure now, in Africa without having seen TV back in 1992. Things like cable TV, America Online, cell phones, electricity, or even a telephone were unheard of in the location where we lived. We had to travel over 4 hours down to the capital city and wait until 2 in the morning to make a phone call to our family. Well, one day I visited a friend's house at a place called the Masanga Leprosy Hospital. It was about an hour's drive away on some halfway decent roads. And we went there for our medical care. It was staffed by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they had professional, real-life American and some European doctors at this clinic to take care of you. Well, I got to know some of them, and, well, it was about lunchtime. The wife of one of the doctors invited me over to their house to have lunch with her and her husband, who was a doctor. So I walked in the door, and she said, "Oh, go just sit down in the living room." So I walked through the living room door, and there for the first time in months was a TV. And on this TV, they had satellite. This is back in the days when it took about a 20-foot dish or something. They had CNN Live. I was mesmerized, folks. I hadn't listened to CNN. I hadn't seen CNN Live. Now, we would listen to shortwave radio. We would listen to Voice of America. We listened to BBC by shortwave every day at the set time. But I hadn't seen TV in months. I sat down to watch. And on a hot, sticky day, in the middle of a foreign culture, going through culture shock, this was like a piece of heaven. And I believe it was in the days of the Bosnia crisis. Bosnia was going on back then. You know, every time we start down a new road in life or a major adventure, a new leg to a journey, we usually experience a moment when we feel like we are on top of the world. Everything is going good. Our purpose and direction are clear. It's like a piece of heaven, isn't it? It seems that we're clearly in God's will. God's grace in our lives is evident, at least to us. It was there all along, but to us it is. We feel spiritually motivated and close to God. Things seem clear and grand, and we wish it wouldn't end. It's a piece of heaven. And I liken these to transfiguration experiences. They're kind of like James and John and Peter's magnificent experience on the mountaintop in our text, but probably not quite as good. But in life, we also move through sufferings, through trials, through tribulations, through hard times, and finally into the shadow of death before entering into the fullest of life, and that is eternity one day with our Lord in heaven. From this world, however, that full eternity, that promise of eternal life is not seen, but we accept it in faith. Faith in our Lord Jesus. Trusting in His words. Now the problem for us is not that we have these magnificent experiences, not that we experience moments of grace that we might liken to a transfiguration experience. The problem is that we get stuck sometimes on the need for magnificence, on being on the mountaintop. High, good emotions, emotional highs. Maybe we're a little bit too much addicted to having emotional highs. And then if we aren't feeling high, if we don't have that emotional high, we think something is wrong, or we think God has moved, He's abandoned us, which is, of course, simply not true. We may begin to believe we have no clear direction in life, even though that really is not the case. God is still walking with us. One takeaway from the Transfiguration text is this. In this life, we don't always have these highs. but it should not cause us to doubt or question God. Not being in the middle of a mountaintop or transfiguration experience should not disillusion us. We should not lose our focus. We should not be diminished in our faith or service to our Lord. We should not feel distant from God. But we should also know that the moments of grace or the high points of life are gifts from God. They're very intentional, and they serve a purpose in our Christian walk. Verses 2 through 3 read, "About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went to a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning." Now, the transfiguration experience happened at a place called Mount Hermon, which is about 9,200 feet tall. In comparison, and we lived in Colorado Springs for a couple of years, Pikes Peak is about 14,150 feet tall. Who knows where Grandfather Mountain is at in North Carolina? Grandfather Mountain in North Carolina, in the Blue Ridge Mountains, is about 5,945 feet tall. And Mount Sinai in Israel is about 7,479 feet tall. So it's kind of in there. It's not as tall as Pikes Peak, but it's taller than Grandfather Mountain, and it's taller than Mount Sinai. Well, the Old Testament parallel to this event, which is happening in Jesus' days, is when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. When Moses comes down, he has a change of appearance. He is radiant and glowing, just like Jesus in our text for today. So it's clear that Jesus is intending for them to think back to the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. There's a connection here. It's interesting that no mention is made of Jesus' face and Jesus' face glowing. And I think this is intentional. In the text where Moses gets the Ten Commandments, it's said that he comes down and his face is glowing. Now when Jesus is glowing, no one sees his face. This is sending a clear message to the Israelites, because we know the Bible says no one has ever seen God face to face and lived. And so this event, which is parallel to this giving of the Ten Commandments, Moses glows, Jesus glows, you see Moses' face, you don't see Jesus' face. What's the message? This is God himself here on this mountaintop with the apostles. For the disciples, the transfiguration is like that taste of turkey you snuck before the meal. This is a special glimpse or prelude of what Jesus' full glory and grace and majesty will be like in heaven. And in fact, every time we experience a moment of grace from God in our lives, it's like a taste of turkey for us as well. It's a taste of the glory that happened on that mountaintop with Jesus in the transfiguration. Verse 4 reads, "Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus." Now here are Moses and Elijah, and they're there for a reason. Moses is what? He's the great lawgiver, right? He gives the Ten Commandments. And Elijah is known as the greatest prophet. The apostles are no doubt awed to be in the presence of this great company, this great trilogy. Verse 33 reads, "As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, 'Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" He did not know what he was saying. That the disciples don't understand the significance of this moment is seen in their ignorance and fear. In his ignorance, Peter suggests putting up three tabernacles. It would simply be some kind of a tent, a small tent, a booth. But savoring and lingering permanently at the Transfiguration Mountain meant that Jesus could not then move forward to complete his purpose for being there and to go to the cross and die for our sins. Staying fixed there to enjoy the moment of glory would have jeopardized the salvation of the entire world. He needed to get down from that mountaintop back to everyday life and to his destiny on the cross